To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Is that it?
Yeah.
It's the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
I forgot we had it.
That was my first time hearing it.
When you hear that music, you know it's Sassy Elliott time. This Elliott Shore Parks call-in is brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com. Robin Ford, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. What do you think of the new Sassy Elliott song, Elliott?
I mean, I do think my sassiest calls are Friday from the NovaCare Complex parking lot. So I guess in terms of timing, it's good. I thought you were going to play maybe like The Champ Is Here by Jadakiss. You know, something with you know, my crown.
But no, we're calling that a Mickey Mouse title. Yeah, look at what happened this year.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I knew there was no way it would age well amongst you guys.
What I can see happening is that the existence of the actual Sassy Elliott sort of fades away, and we just start referring to you as Sassy Elliott. Nobody even remembers where it came from.
Agreed. Five years from now, no one will remember the one hit I missed from all year.
Hey! So, Elliott, we started off the show today really just asking the question, is this team just cooked, right? We have the offenses look bad. The defense looked bad on Friday. It seemed like they were lifeless. Jalen Carter now has the injury thing. We're, praying that somehow Darius Slay gets here. Do you think that this team is cooked, or do you think that they've got one more run left in them?
So it's a great question. When you watch them play, like I always try to remind myself how I felt watching them play the last 2 weeks. And when you watch them play, I think there is certainly an element or a feeling of them being cooked. Like at the end of that Bears game, I wasn't saying they were the best team in the NFC. But then when you take the emotion out of it and you look around and you look at, the rest of the NFC, you look at the fact that they are 8-4, like I think cooked is strong. I think if they were cooked, I would view them as having no shot. And I think they absolutely have a shot come playoff time. Now, they obviously need to play better. Like, obviously, that's part of it. But I think cooked would insinuate it's over. And I can't go as far as saying it's over.
Yeah, I would say you're probably not going to bet on either one, right? I mean, I think that's the...
But if I had to bet, I would bet on them going to the Super Bowl. Like, if I had to pick either they don't win a playoff game or they go to the Super Bowl, I would pick the Super Bowl.
Mm. Really?
Yeah, because they're going to have a home playoff game. I'd be very surprised if they lost their home playoff game. Obviously, anything can happen between now and then. But right now, today, I don't think there's an opponent I would pick to come into Philadelphia in that game and beat the Eagles of the teams it could likely be. Like, if it's not going to be the Rams, I mean, the Rams is a tougher call. But so if the options are they don't win a playoff game or go to the Super Bowl, I think they're almost definitely going to win their first home playoff game. And if that's the case, like, you get momentum going, the rest of the conference isn't that good. If it was those two options, I would pick the Super Bowl.
I think where I would be, and then we can get on the next thing, where I would be is I think they could beat anybody in that playoff game. I also wouldn't be surprised if they lost to anybody in the playoffs. So I want to just get to a few injury things here. We got the news yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before, whatever it was, that Jalen Carter had they made sure not to call it surgeries, that he had procedures on his shoulders. I saw one doctor online guessing maybe he got PRP injections in his shoulders, which would be a procedure, not a surgery. Do you have a sense? I saw the report that he, you know, is aiming to be 100% for the playoffs. Do you have a sense of when we may see Jalen Carter again this year?
So I think we'll get our answer on that prior to Monday, if they put in, and whether or not they put him on IR. Like when Lane got hurt and then he wasn't put on IR, that's when everybody got hope that, oh, he's not going to be out 6-7 games. And it looks like Lane, if I had to guess, probably will play against the Raiders. So, you know, if it's going to be four or less games, they won't put him on IR, Jalen Carter. And if it's going to be more than four, then they will. My concern isn't so much if he plays, you know, one game the rest of the way or whatever. My concern is just when you're a guy that size and you miss playing football for at least three games, I think it's going to be, and then maybe four or five depending. Like, it's really hard to bounce back from that. So I do think, you know, presumably his shoulders will feel better when he comes back. He'll have the procedure. That'll be fixed, hopefully. But my concern is just he has had trouble staying in football shape this year already. Vic Fangio has brought that up. He missed a lot of training camp, had a slow start to the year. So he just hasn't had a chance to get in a good rhythm. And I think missing 3 weeks to 4 weeks and then going back in what will be an intense game, like the first game he plays in will probably be a very intense one. I doubt he plays in a meaningless game. I think it's going to be hard for him to come back and be the player everyone thought he could be this year.
Yeah, I mean, whew. Well, that's going to be tough on the D-line, and by proxy, it's going to be tough on our linebackers. I mean, last week, linebackers couldn't get to the running game because the D-linemen were in their lap and the offensive linemen were in their lap. If Jalen Carter's not playing, what does that do for Jordan Davis and how much he has to be out there? And I'm assuming Moro Jomo is going to be the starter in place of him.
Yeah, so I think that it puts a ton of pressure on Moro Jomo and Jordan Davis. And now the flip side of that is, but they both have a chance to earn themselves a ton of money over these next three games. Like if they can go out and play at a high level in the absence of Jalen Carter, when both are, I mean, you know, both are essentially in a contract year because they only have 1 year left after this year, they can make themselves a lot of money. Now, I know that's not the concern of everyone right now because people are more concerned about how the football team plays, but that is an interesting aspect to it. Now, Moro Jomo has been awesome this year. The question is, can Moro Jomo go from being awesome as the guy next to Jalen Carter to being the guy every team game plans throughout the week? And get double team. You know, Jalen Carter always played on the left side of the football. Like Moro Jomo was saying yesterday, now maybe he lines up there. So you're talking about scouting for a different guard than you were before. You're talking about just being in a different spot on the field. So there's just a lot of changes with that. And you're right with the linebackers. It definitely doesn't help them, especially coming off a week where no one in that front seven played well against the run. My bigger concern is about the secondary, because I think the secondary, one whole side of the field, right, the safety, whoever, whether it be Sidney Brown or Marcus Epps and Adoree Jackson, is a big question mark. And when your defensive line's not getting pressure, and with Jalen Carter, you would think they would get less pressure, I think there's just more pressure on your back four or five, whatever you want to call it. So that would be a concern. The linebackers I agree with, but Justin Herbert does have a good set of receivers. Like the way to beat him this week is to get to him in his broken hand to, you know, force him out of the pocket. But if he has time back there, it's going to be really, really hard for this secondary to cover all those receivers.
So speaking of pressure, Jalen Phillips was listed as having a concussion. Is Jalen Phillips going to play on Monday?
Yeah, I think he's going to play. In order to clear the concussion protocol fully, I think you have to complete a practice. I talked to Jalen Phillips in the locker room yesterday, and he's fine. So I would be very surprised if he doesn't play in the game.
And then finally on play and not play, we talked about the Darius Slay thing in that. Now, you told me he wasn't going to get claimed by anybody. He did get claimed by the Buffalo.
Yeah, I was wrong about that.
Insider view.
Yeah, exactly.
So Slay gets claimed by the Bills. He seems very comfortable not going to play for the Bills. The Bills don't have to do anything about this. Is there the ability for the Bills to just release their claim, and do you think there's any possibility Slay ends up playing for the Eagles this year?
So I think, to defend myself for a second, a lot of people in the building were very surprised he got claimed. I don't think they anticipated him being claimed. So that was a surprise. Like, they were ready to... Okay, all right.
That's fair. It's fair. It's fair. I did ask the question. You know.
Yeah. But no, I think there's two issues. So there's one way for Darius Slay to get here, and that is Drew Rosenhaus is arguably the most powerful agent in the NFL, and that's his agent, and maybe he makes something happen. Like, that is the way that it could happen. But the issue is the NFL is not going to just sit back and watch the Eagles essentially circumvent the waiver wire system, right? Like, you know, if I'm the Lions or the Rams or whoever, and Darius Slay gets claimed, and then he just goes, nah, I'd rather play for the Eagles, and the Eagles get him, then what's the point of having the waiver wire system? So I think there would be that issue with it. Yeah, I mean, I don't think they anticipated him being claimed. I'll also say, listening to him on, he was interviewed by Emmanuel Acho yesterday.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just lying, but he sounds pretty happy going to, like, his kids' games and not having to go to practice. And when you've already had two players come in the building and retire, I don't know if you want to bring someone in that doesn't sound like maybe their heart is 100% into football.
I think he's just playing that role because he has to publicly.
You think so?
Yeah.
I had the same sense watching that Elliot did. I was like, wow, this guy doesn't seem to be bothered by not playing at all. But
He seems like he got to experience retirement for 3 days and is like, wow, this is actually awesome. Like, I don't have to go to practice. I can go to my kids' games. That was my take.
What kids' game is he going to in December? What are we playing right now? Is he playing football outside somewhere? What are we doing?
Well, basketball.
Oh, I mean,
how old is his kids?
16. He said his kid's 16.
Oh, his oldest. He's 18.
Oh, 18.
Oh, his oldest son.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot about that. I'm thinking about the little ones.
Oh, right.
That's what I was thinking about. Yeah, what are we talking about?
I said, they suck anyway.
No, I'm just saying the importance of the games is not.
Have you ever seen little kid football? They suck. They're all just running, following the ball, and all of them.
It's like recess out there. That's all it is, man. I forgot about the oldest son. I forgot, yeah.
So, Elliot, let me ask you about this. There was we get on you for not having scoops, but we do give you credit for asking difficult questions, and this happened at the Jalen Hurts press. We do. We're fair, I believe.
Well, it's my only path at this point, so I got to keep doing it.
Yeah. So there was a Jalen Hurts press conference yesterday, and we will play the audio here. I wanted to get your sense of it. You were asking him about the reports that he didn't want to run the ball more. Here's the exchange, the two questions.
Jalen, you mentioned reporting that maybe you're not as willing to run the ball this year. I was wondering if that's true, or if you approach a season the same way.
Yeah, if you don't mind me asking, what is how we come to that conclusion or rationalize that?
So it wasn't my reporting, but there's been reporting that you don't want to run the ball as much this year.
Okay. I've always been focused on doing whatever it takes to win, and I've always put my energy on trying to bring a game plan and a strategy that week to life. So I'll continue to do that.
When you do your deep dive into the past, are you looking at the running game too? Is that part of it? You're more of a passing game, but
look at everything. And I have my thoughts. I've always had thoughts. Ultimately, it's not just my thoughts that are going to go out there and foster, what we do. That's not the reality of how it works. It's a lot of trust in Coach Nick. There's a lot of trust in Coach KP, and they lead the way in that. And so I think as a unit, and more importantly as a quarterback, it's about me going out there and following the direction and the vision and following their rhythm and what they do.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. The real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So before we get to the Jalen thing, it did sound like you muscled John McMullen out of a question to ask that question. Was that his voice? Am I right?
I don't remember who I muscled out for that one. It was obviously somebody.
Okay.
But that third question wasn't me, too.
Yes.
To
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's break this down into two things. So your questions, asking him about the reports that he didn't want to run the ball more. What did you take out of his responses, if anything?
So I think his initial kind of questioning of my question was his way of saying, like, how could anybody believe I don't want to run the ball? Like where is that conclusion coming from? And so I don't think he was, you know, snapping back at me for the question. I think that's how he wanted to initially respond to it. And then obviously when I followed up and asked him essentially the same question again, I think he was basically said, well, I mean, what you guys heard, which is, I always want to do what it takes to win. I thought it was interesting in there. He said, you know, the game plan and the strategy for the week, kind of implying like he doesn't do the game plan and the strategy for the week. And so if the ball is not being run, he's just doing kind of what he's being told. But I think the first part was just a genuine kind of trying to say, like, I've run the ball a ton in my career. Like, why would I not run it now? Was probably what he was trying to portray.
You know, he could have just said those words, though, right?
No, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then, so the second thing, we were talking about it yesterday when he said, you know, it's not just me, it's KP, it's Nick, and it does sort of, and I know it was only one quote last year, but we did get the offense is going to look the way that Jalen Hurts wants it to look, and everybody's got to get used to that. And then you compare that to, hey, it's those guys. Did you take anything from his response to that?
So I think, to kind of piggyback off the last thing, like even his answer about running the ball had an insinuation of, I just do what I'm told. I think there's been other times this year where he has said things, you know, oh, that's a question for Kevin, right? Like, I think he has a little bit more this year kind of tried to say, I'm just running the offense that I'm being told to run. So, I mean, it would be a good question for him, actually. So you've said before, it's going to look how you want it to look. How does that relate to what the coordinators are calling? But I would agree with you that it does seem this year he is bringing up the coaches and their impact on what he does as opposed to in past years.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Well, I think he probably hears all the finger pointing coming his way from people in the building. And he's reminding people that, by the way, you know, I'm just doing what I'm told to do. I think the finger pointing people would probably counter by saying, well, we're just doing what we think you can do. But, you know, that's the kind of the whole question we've been talking about all year.
Yeah. You know what, Elliot? I didn't want to go down this road, but listen, you kind of led me here because I'm thinking sort of the same thing. I've mentioned this to Spike from the standpoint of Jalen sort of being aware of this noise that's surrounding him, leaks out the building, you know, all this type of stuff that's coming out about him. He must assume that some of this is coming from people that supposed to have his best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if he has gone into protection mode of himself and his own brand to say, hey, you know what? If this is how it's going to be, then I'm going to make sure I do what's best for me. I'm just wondering that. Like, and that also has the running aspect included in there as well as to whether or not how eager is he to put himself in harm's way by running more.
Yeah, I think there's a component of it. I mean, I think maybe you've made this point, but I think it's perfect for what you just said. Like, the finger pointing and the saving of the jobs are not things that should be happening on a team that's 8-4, probably going to win the division and host a home playoff game. So I do think that you're right. Like, the element of what he is saying is kind of I don't want to say deflecting blame, but almost kind of fighting back at the reporting that it's all his fault. Right.
Yep.
And yeah, so that's why I think Monday is such a huge game. I mean, it's a primetime game. Everyone's going to be watching it. The whole, you know, media conglomerate's going to be talking about it leading up, like ESPN, NFL Network. Like, there's going to be a lot of focus on what's wrong with the Eagles leading up to Monday night. And if they lose, there'll be a lot of focus again. And so I think Monday can be a huge game in, you know, directing where this season goes.
Yeah, you're right. That Monday night game is a standalone game, so once they get done with talking about Sunday's action, it's going straight to focusing on the Eagles and Chargers. And
then the next day.
Well, and let's be frank, the Eagles are the more interesting team of the two, so they're going to dive into all the issues that's been going on this year.
No, I agree. Yeah. Can I push back actually on something you said earlier, Spike? Not that we have to yell at each other every time, but I did disagree with. Like, you said you wouldn't be surprised if any team beat the Eagles in the playoffs. And I get what you're saying. They make a lot of mistakes. Like, but I do think, like, let's take the Chiefs, for example, or, you know, whatever, like the Patriots from back in the day. And the Eagles are not on the Patriots level, but one of
or
those
the Chiefs.
Teams,
like, or the Chiefs.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like,
so just agree. Agree.
No. I'm not going to agree. Because right, I think if the Colts go into Kansas City and beat the Chiefs this year in the playoffs, now I know that game won't happen, but, like, I would still be surprised by that. I would be surprised.
But the Eagles aren't the Chiefs. The Eagles aren't the Chiefs.
No.
So, here's the difference. Just to lay out the difference. The Chiefs have won three Super Bowls. They have debatably the best quarterback of all time and debatably the best coach of all time. Whereas the Eagles have won one Super Bowl. Nobody is arguing they have the best quarterback of all time. Nobody's arguing they have the greatest coach of all time. And 2 years ago...
Well, Elliott said they're a top 10 head coach quarterback duo of all time.
And they do have arguably a top 10.
And two
years ago, the season with these two gentlemen unraveled so badly they got their asses handed to them by the Tampa Bay Bucks in the first round of the playoffs. So the difference between the Chiefs and the Eagles is actually massive. So that's why I do not put the Eagles on the Chiefs level. And even by the way that you rank things, the credit that you give the Eagles, given what the Chiefs have done, there should be three times as much credit to the Chiefs. If you're just saying they win and they won Super Bowls, well, those guys have won Super Bowls and are respected in a way that the Eagles have not. You know,
they've been to five.
Yeah, that just you don't have to do that to make the argument.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, you're right, the Chiefs are ahead of the Eagles. I agree with you on that. But the Chiefs in the NFL are probably the team most like, or the Eagles are the team most like the Chiefs in the NFL currently, right? Because they've been the two Super Bowls.
So have the Rams.
Yeah. Well, okay. The Rams, when did they win their Super Bowl? That was how many years ago at this point? Four? Five? Like, that was almost almost a completely different team? I'm trying to think how much turnover they've had.
When they win it, 19? No, the Rams won it in 21.
21.
21. Yeah,
21. Yeah.
Okay. But the point I'm making is this. Like, I do think this team's playoff success should give them a level of, like, I would be surprised if a team with no playoff experience knocked them out. Like, even if they're not playing well, just like with the Chiefs, or if you want to say the Rams, right? Like, I would be surprised if the Bears knocked the Rams out of the playoffs.
Right.
Put it that way.
Right.
So I get the heart of what you're saying, which is they are a team that shoots themselves in the foot, so they are capable of losing to any team. I do think it's a different animal to knock them out than it is to beat them in week 14 or 13 or whatever. So that's the only thing I would push back on. And I agreed with you initially, but when I thought of it, I actually would be surprised. Like, I would be surprised if Seattle beat them.
Well, we have to see how the next five games go, I think, to really figure out whether we would be surprised at that. I guess I'm just saying, this is a football team that hasn't proven they're actually good at anything. And I know they won the Super Bowl last year. And I think that Mike Mayock made a really good point yesterday when he said that Saquon's explosive runs last year covered up for a lot of offensive flaws on the football team. And we don't have those runs. And then we don't have the same offensive line production. We don't have the same health. So I guess I hear what you're saying, but would I be surprised if the Chicago Bears beat the Eagles in the first round of the playoffs? I mean, they just beat their asses on Friday. Why would I be surprised?
So the last thing I would say is, while we did this on Tuesday and you asked me what they're good at, and I couldn't really think of anything besides turnover. So I'm not fighting back. They're not good at anything. But what I think about a lot is they have won eight games and beaten a lot of good teams. So there must be something they're good at. Like, I know that we're saying they're not good at anything, but all these teams that we act like are way better than them, they've beaten them. So there must be something that they're doing out there. And that's why, even though they're not aesthetically pleasing to watch right now, and I agree, when I watch them, I think to myself, man, this team is in shambles right now. Like, I still think that they deserve the benefit of the doubt in the playoffs against these teams that are far from proven and that they've beaten.
Yeah. Okay. Championship DNA.
Yeah, I guess. All right, Elliot. When do you leave for LA? On Sunday?
Yeah, I don't leave till Sunday afternoon. So Go Birds Radio tomorrow, 1 to 3.
There you go. And you can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast. There he is, the talented, Sassy and always infuriating, Elliot Shorepark.
Oh, you gotta have a nice outfit for Monday. Good weather.
Everything. Oh, yeah. Come on.
Linen? You know, I don't normally dress as well on the road because I'm not on camera as much, but like, maybe I'll have to do something nice for LA.
Linen. Feels
well,
like
you know,
linen.
I love linen, especially after September. Yeah.
Yep. All right. There he is. The world famous Elliot Shorepark. You know what happened? It wasn't combative enough.
No.
He doesn't like that.
No.
And
he's
had to bring something up, you know?
He's a what?
Masochist.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he said mathicus.
A mathicus. No.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't think a mathicus is a real thing.
You gotta respect that. Elliot's uncomfortable agreeing.
Yeah, but then also his Friday hits, he comes on a little mopey. Like, you know, he has the attitude of like, oh, they're going to make fun of me for something.
Yeah,
yeah. He's Eeyore. Oh, yeah, he's got a little Eeyore vibes on Friday.
Oh, I didn't recognize that.
And it's Fridays when he's like, yeah, I don't even listen to Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings. It's always Fridays.
Yeah, a little mopey.
Oh, is that what it is? Yes. It's the whole Power Rankings.
I guess I'll give up this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Nut up.
Yeah. Grow up, Elliot. I'm sorry, you can't give the Eagles the same credit you give the Chiefs. The Chiefs sort of remind me of the Spurs when the Tim Duncan Spurs.
Sure.
And my thing with the Tim Duncan Spurs is I'll stop thinking they're going to win when they actually stop winning. When they're dead, then they'll be dead, and that's fine. But that team's not dead. Yeah. I don't think of this team
No,
like
the Chiefs are
team.
Definitely ahead of them.
Yeah.
But I would say this. I think where he's really coming from is that what other team has been consistently winning, getting to the Super Bowl more than the Eagles? Other than the Chiefs.
Yes, of late. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, I wonder if we had to give them the benefit of the doubt heading into the 2023 playoffs, you know, because they went to the Super
Bowl. We tried to, yeah.
Well, I know.
That didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
No.
Yeah. So it does matter how they're playing.
Well, yeah, that's why Monday night is must win. 215-592-9494. So what do you think? You think they're cooked? They got one run left in them. Also, next question.
We got another one in us.
Give us somebody.
Yeah, they're gearing up for it. Yeah.
A notable second act for next question. Tornado Shapiro's weekend forecast is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Winter hits fast. I'm talking snow, ice, wind. Don't wait for something on your home to fail. Call my friends over at Emmons Roofing and Siding. Now, they got lifetime warranty roofing, siding, and American-made Provia and Anderson windows and doors. From Philly to Jersey Shore. Nope. From Philly to the Jersey Shore. There we go. I had it. Emmons is a platinum Owens Corning contractor, which means Owens Corning warranties their workmanship for life. That's right, for life. Now, there's no better roof than an Owens Corning roof by Emmons Roofing and Siding. Financing available. Call Emmons.com. This is not written properly, man. 833-4-EMMONS and tell Mike sent you.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.